It's time now for our Wednesday morning conversation. As promised, we're going to be talking about autism, talking about islands of brilliance. And here to fill us in and educate us a little bit this morning, Kay Woodzik is here for us this morning. Good morning, Kay.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Now, this conversation today stems out of a conversation I had with Heidi and Annette from our Tomahawk Public Library last week. And as soon as we were done here, what they did was they had the Islands of Brilliance thing at the end of our notes. And I wanted to make sure, because I figured this is going to be very very important to get this information out. So I switched it around and I threw them a curveball and we did it first because I thought it was so important. They must have thought it was important too, because as soon as we were done with that conversation here, they went back to the library and called you right away.
Absolutely. That's how it went down.
And what do you do here? You said you've been on a press tour. So what is your role with Islands of Brilliance?
Thank you. I am the statewide outreach manager. And so I actually just got back from a tour of the four sites that the fellowship will be in and sort of the central and western part of the state. So Viroqua, La Crosse, Eau Claire, and Rice Lake. And then I live in Woodruff. And so Tomahawk and Wausau, which are the other two sites, so six in total, are a little closer to home for me.
So this is a program that's going to focus on autism. We're going to get into that a little bit. And it's happening right here at our Tomahawk Library.
Yes, it's going to be Thursdays from 5 to 6 at the Tomahawk Library. This is a completely free program. We were lucky enough to get a grant from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. And so it's going to be free. And so capped at 10 participants per workshop. And we're really excited to get it going next week.
So let's start with the basics. What exactly is Islands of Brilliance?
Islands of Brilliance is a Milwaukee-based nonprofit. It was founded 11 years ago by a husband and wife, Mark and Margaret Fairbanks. Their son, Harry, was diagnosed with autism when he was 3 years old, and the folks who diagnosed him gave sort of a very negative kind of sentence almost. They said, don't expect much from this kid. Literally said, lower your expectations. This kid is 3 years old, and they say, don't expect him to go to college. It's not going to happen. And Mark and Margaret, like myself, have a very extensive background in theater. And I love theater people because we're always thinking outside of the box. And so Margaret got down on her hands and knees with the Thomas the Tank Engine set that Harry was playing with. And she picked up Thomas and started giving Thomas a voice. So speaking to Harry through Thomas, Harry's eyes light up. He's giving eye contact. And they were both like, whoa, we have something here that maybe we could build on and share with other folks. First program was a handful of autistic youth paired one-on-one with graphic design mentors, and they collaborated on a poster that focused on each of the students' special interests. And so from that one program, it's grown to more than a dozen programs, mostly in Milwaukee, but varying from social conversations. I love our Brilliant Breakfast Club, where we sort of take a topic and toss it around, to very technically skilled stuff with our director of technology, Chris Willey, where you're learning stuff in Adobe Photoshop and Blender and animation, and one student's even building an entire Harry Potter video game world.
And so all those students, those students and their parents probably had the same diagnosis at one time.
Yes, hopefully not as negative of an experience. I think the stigma around autism and neurodiversity, we're working really hard to change those perceptions. And I think on social media specifically, you're seeing more folks claim the identity of neurodiversity. And I love the disability community's way of saying, don't talk about us without us. Okay. Like, as someone who is diagnosed late in life as autistic and neurodivergent myself, like, the online community is absolutely amazing.
I got to say, I like to share personal experiences.
Absolutely.
I went to school with a girl. She's a woman now, and she's a mom, fantastic mom. One of her kids was diagnosed on the spectrum with autism. At the very early stages, she wasn't sure how she was ever going to get through to her son. Just happened to go to a baseball game one day, and this kid just lit up, just like you say.
Yeah.
he just lit up, and he came out of that shell that he was in, and this just started a downhill rolling great snowball that just built up momentum. He has been thriving, but the thing about it is that with his form of autism, he wasn't able to go out on the regular playgrounds with the kids or on a regular ball diamond. So what did mom do? Got a hold of Brett Favre at the Green Bay Packers, says, my boy has autism. He wants to play ball. We need a playground here in town that is safe for kids with every other kind of disability, yeah. every other kind of situation that they're in. We want a place for these kids to play. Brett says, how much you need?
Oh, I love that. I think that's a great intersection with, we talk about autistic folks having special interests. Like, being a major Packers fan, that's a special interest. Yeah. I think that our fandoms, I mean, everyone has special interests. It's just we autistic folks maybe are a bit more passionate about our special interests.
Now, he didn't cut a check for the whole thing, but he got a big enough check to these folks that they got the ball rolling, and then other yeah. donations started coming in. And down in Appleton, they've got a beautiful park for kids of all issues to go and play together and be safe doing it. We're building one here in Tomahawk now.
That's absolutely incredible.
The Dream Park is under construction. That big park with a locomotive in it?
Yeah.
That's going to be a dream park with every kid's going to be welcome to come in there and play safely.
Oh, that's, I'm getting a little teared up. That's amazing.
So the thing about it is that little things can turn into big things. And when it comes to parents and their kids with autism, it must be a very frustrating thing because they want to help their kids. They want to get through, but they might not be able to on their own. And so that's where I'm hoping Islands of Brilliance may come in.
Absolutely. We do want to fill that need. And this program, the fellowship, is specifically tailored for what we consider transition age folks. And so 16 to 30, because one of the pieces of feedback we get a lot from our parents is a lot of the support drops out after folks leave the school system, okay. right? Like yeah. if you are able to eventually access that support, cool, someone graduates, and now what? And so to have these especially curated little pockets of joy and support for folks to come and lean into their special interests and then have these peer-based discussions and build their network, it's a really valuable thing that we're bringing to these six communities across the state.
Autism is something that you can't look at someone and say, oh, yeah, they've got autism. There are a lot of things that it isn't that way. There are some things where you can yeah. tell that some people have issues. But with autism, you don't know. I can say I just met you for the first time. I can't tell if you have autism or not.
Yeah.
So what yeah. for folks that don't maybe get it, we don't have it close to us in our families or in our sure. circle of group. How would you like us to... I don't want this to come off the wrong way. Not how we should treat everybody with kindness and dignity and respect. But when it comes to especially with autism, we might not be experienced in how to handle interactions with some folks on the spectrum. Am I getting through here?
You are okay. Absolutely. Like, and going off of what you just said, one of my special interests is theater, and so I have a master's degree in theater. When I share that I'm autistic, more often than not, I'll hear someone say, well, no, you don't look autistic. You don't come across as autistic. Well, yeah, that makes sense because my special interest is theater. And so I've developed these skills in being very outgoing and whatnot. To your point, yeah, folks on the spectrum have different ways of communicating. Some folks, you know, eye contact might be harder. One of the things I would share the most with folks is sometimes the way that autistic folks relate to a conversation is by bringing in a personal experience. And okay. so giving folks a little grace, like if you're asking a question or sharing something and someone seems to come out of left field with something that doesn't quite intersect, just know that that's probably an autistic person trying to be empathetic and respond with a story of their own. So we might not communicate precisely in the way that neurotypical people do, but we do communicate. We're empathetic and just just have some grace and open up what your perception of, you know, quote unquote normal conversational yeah. structures are.
Curious, did you see CBS News Sunday Morning this last Sunday?
No, tell me, what happened?
All right, there's one of the features, maybe it was last Sunday, but anyway, the last couple of Sundays, you mentioned theater and yep. autism. There was a feature about there's a play going on. I believe it's on Broadway. It might be a little off
Broadway. How to Dance in Ohio?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. And the entire cast is made up with folks on the spectrum.
Yep.
And as I'm watching this piece, these are hugely talented people.
Mm-hmm.
Again, to look, and I hate to say it that, but to look at them, they just look like you or I.
Right.
Just, and so what they're doing with that play and how it's being accepted by people, people that have that deal with autism are saying, finally, I can see me up on the stage.
Right.
That's got to be awesome. So look that, since you're in the theater, you got to look up that piece.
Yeah, I have some friends. I actually interviewed one of the producers of that piece for my
really?
Podcast for American Theater Magazine, Danny Marin, with Con Limon Productions. And it's a little bit of a bummer because they have announced that they're closing on Broadway.
Oh,
but
really?
What's really lovely is that they baked in a lot of, you know, neurodivergent creatives into that entire process. And so it was a very inclusive production. And going off when you're talking about performers and stuff, like, I like to shout out Anthony Hopkins, Oscar award-winning actor. He's autistic. And I think an aha moment I had last week is, I think I'm an elder millennial. I'm 38. When I was growing up, when I heard the word autistic, I think the image that popped into my head was Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
I think that's mm-hmm. a cultural touch point that a lot of us have. But guess what's actually more accurate would be Dan Aykroyd 4 years earlier in Ghostbusters, who is also autistic and actually said that his special interests in the paranormal, in law enforcement, are what made that movie so good. He's
really?
Gone so far as to be an officer on duty in Louisiana. Like, he really goes deep into those special interests, and a lot of folks probably don't even know he's autistic.
I wanted to lay a base here first before we got into some specifics
sure.
about how this is going to relate to us here in Tomahawk, just to kind of lay a base here.
Yeah.
And hopefully we have that. Do you think we have a good understanding
I
now
do.
To go forward? Okay,
yeah.
good. You've done a fantastic job. Kay Woodzik is with me here this morning from Islands of Brilliance. Now, let's talk about how this relates to folks here in Tomahawk. Now, is the model of Islands of Brilliance, that's like the overhead, the umbrella.
Right.
And then it branches off and it's going into these local communities and coming here to Tomahawk. How is this going to affect people in Tomahawk? What is this fellowship all about?
Yeah, so the fellowship came from a need that we were hearing from folks across the state. Most of the Islands of Brilliance programming is located in Milwaukee, though we do travel somewhat sort of doing one-day workshops. And we were hearing this profound need, especially in smaller communities, for programming for autistic and neurodivergent folks, but especially programming that focuses on creativity and technology. And so the way that it's going to show up in Tomahawk is we have two brilliant fellows, an artist and an educator. Our educator is Deb Wall. She has 39 years of experience specializing in special education. She's an incredible human. And then Jake Nitzel, who is an animal control officer and firefighter in the Rhinelander area. He also organizes a live action role play group up here. And I've worked with him as an actor when I ran the community theater in Rhinelander. And so they're going to be leading these 1 hour free workshops at the Tomahawk Public Library on Thursdays from 5 to 6. It's totally free. If folks want to join, they can go to islandsofbrilliance.org, find the fellowship program, and it's just a quick form online, and then they'll be able to join the fun.
And again, you said this is for people 16 years old and up.
Yeah, 16 okay. and up. And if they identify as autistic or neurodivergent and think it sounds interesting, you know, please lean in, sign up. You can sign up for a month at a time and check it out.
So what are some of the things that are going to happen on Thursdays then at the library?
Yeah. So one of the things I love about this program is every other week, it changes up. So like the first week is what I call an analog activity. And so using things to build something, to draw something, and then the next week we'll bring in the iPads. We use a program called Procreate. And so folks will be able to upskill in digital artwork a little bit. One of our first activities is building your own neighborhood. So if you could build your own neighborhood, what would it look like? That's a question I'll ask you. If you could build your ideal neighborhood, what would it look like? Would it be like Packersville? Would it be like, what would be interesting to you?
I would like to live in a neighborhood where everybody knew everybody's name and phone number.
Nice.
I would like to live in a neighborhood where everybody respects each other's property.
Yeah.
I'd like to live in a neighborhood where you know that if your dog is lost, no problem, your neighbor's got your back. To me, that's just being closer to our neighbors the way we were back. I'm nearly 60 years old. So back in the old days when I grew up, we all knew our neighbors.
Right.
I know my neighbors in the backyard. That's it.
So you would want a neighborhood that was very connected.
Yes.
And so
more connected.
Right. We would give you a bunch of arts and crafts supplies. You would have 20, 30 minutes to visualize that. And then the next week, we would put your neighborhood together with everyone else's neighborhoods, take a photo, and then illustrate over that to show how we can intentionally build connections with other folks.
This is very cool. And so the goal of the overall programming here, what would you say that is? What's the goal?
I would say the goal is we want to, you know, there is the goal of, you know, building social connections, absolutely. But then also it's a lot about empowerment, frankly, because I can say, you know, from my perspective as an autistic human, sometimes you get really into a subject and you're monologuing perhaps about something that's very special to you, and you see the other person's eyes kind of glaze over, and then you're like, oh wow, maybe I shouldn't have talked as much about this thing. This space is the opposite of that. It's come bring your entire self. We want to hear why you think trains are so cool. We want you to list off all these stats about the Packers or whatever your special interest is, and then see if your special interest intersects with the other folks in the group, and just building, I would say, building community and empowering individuals are big goals of this program.
You sound like a Packer fan yourself.
Well, I'm wearing green and gold.
I noticed the green and gold. So what's the number one thing this offseason? What do we need to do in Green Bay and Titletown to bring that title back?
Can I call my dad?
Maybe another time. And that's an invitation for you to come back anytime you want to.
Oh, amazing.
You know what? This has been great. Anytime we can shine a light on something that's going to make somebody's life a little bit better, I would love to be a part of that. And so if there's anything else coming up that you think would be appropriate to our audience to hear, please don't be a stranger and keep in contact, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I'm not going to let you out of here that easy.
Okay.
One more time to find out more about Islands of Brilliance. People can follow up after you leave here this morning. What's the best advice?
Best advice, I would go to our website, which is islandsofbrilliance.org. There's a little program drop-down menu at the top, and so you'll select the fellowship. But then also, I invite you to just browse all of our programming. Some of it's virtual, some of it's hybrid, and there's a little something for everyone. So islandsofbrilliance.org. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Come be part of curating joy. That's Mark Fairbanks, our executive director and co-founder. That's one of his big goals for this year, is curating these pockets of joy 1 hour at a time in as many places in Wisconsin as we can.
With or without a nice Chianti and some fava beans. Thank you, Kay. Thanks for being here this morning. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Islandsofbrilliance.org. If you want to know more, check it out. And especially if you love someone, if you know someone with autism, make sure they know about this program.